Welcome back to the Blazing Pucks Podcast.
Oh, shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Victor Manuel.
And I am your other host, Carmichael Manfredi. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us after a long, well, long for us, I guess, a few week hiatus here, but we are back at it. As the title says, we are so back playing typical Canucks hockey. Blood pressure is not doing so good on my end. How you doing, my friend?
My stress levels are beyond manageable at this point. And the team conjuncts for at least 80% of that stress.
That sounds about accurate, man. I mean, if this podcast is like accurately titled, the Canucks podcast you listen to when your kids are not around, this episode more than any other one, I think, that we've done, really don't have your kids around, because holy fuck.
Yeah, fuck, shit, cock, balls. This team makes me want, like, the amount of memes I've seen on Twitter being like, we're so back. We're so not. We're so back. We're so done. Like,
yeah, it's not good. It's not good for the, you know, it's not good for the brain, man.
No, man, I'm already stressed out from just existing as a person right now. How can I
You think this is why everybody in like Vancouver smokes weed a lot? Because we just have to regulate the, you know, the emotions a little bit, numb ourselves.
Actually, honestly, this could be a discussion for like another time for another topic. But yes, I think that is definitely one of the base roots why Vancouver smokes weed, drinks a lot of fucking alcohol, and like, you know, fucking does a lot of party favors.
Yes.
Degeneracy. Like about at least 70% of this city does that. And then the other 30% are not. Like,
and why? Because there's never been a Stanley Cup that's been hoisted here.
Absolutely not.
There's fucking been... fix everything. Just bring the cup to Vancouver.
Yeah, that, honestly, you know, I think that Vancouver, the city getting a cup would be incredible. It would do a lot of wonderful things for the, you know, city, the team, the fan base and everything. But I also think that would just heighten our degeneracy for a while.
You're not wrong. Yeah. You're not wrong. And you know what? We were saying the same shit about the Oilers fans back in the playoff run last year, were you not?
Yeah. That's very
true. We were saying the same shit. And like, that's why I kind of like, I laugh at myself because I'll say it in the moment because, you know, I'm obviously hyped and like, you know, Vancouver Canucks pride and everything. And I look back on it and I'm like, man, like, I was just as obnoxious as those shitheads were. At some points, like, yeah, sometimes I was just so obnoxious. You know who needs to be more obnoxious though is the current players on the roster right now. Like, my word. Like, first of all, you know, we're gonna obviously address the PD Miller thing. I don't want to talk about it too much, but given that we are a Canucks podcast, we obviously got to get into it. Man, seeing Pettersson's performance against Toronto and that like defensive clinic that he was putting on, and then to just see the complete contrast, like. Full cards on the table, that Winnipeg game. Like, I was, I got off work and I hit a workout and I was training a client. So I missed probably about half of the first period. By the time I looked at my phone, I saw it was already 3-0. My jaw hit the ground. I couldn't fucking believe it.
Same here, dude. Same here. Excluding the fact that I was working out, but just making my way home from a long ass fucking transit journey. But yeah, didn't even bother like or think to like fucking put on the game or anything. I get home, I'm like, right, let's throw it on 3-0. And I'm like, the fuck. And then of all things, it was a Kyle Connor natural hat trick. Like, how fucking deflating is that?
Honestly, at that point, and not to mention too, like, you know, these guys prep all week. Or not, maybe not all week, but they, you know, they prep for quite a while. They knew that this game was on their schedule and they knew they had Kyle Connor circled in the roster as well. This guy can really hurt us. And boy, did he boot fuck them very early in the game. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Hey, like, full credit to Kyle Connor, man. That guy's incredible. I feel like he's kind of like he's living in the shadow of like a Matthews or something. Matthews getting more attention.
For sure.
So that's one thing. You know, he's an incredible player for the U.S. And I mean, for the Jets as well, too. But man, like, it's just the contrast of the team. And it, like, and I hate to say it. I know Canucks fans maybe don't want to hear this, but I more and more this happens, the more it sinks in that this is just not the year.
Yeah, you know.
That's what hurts the most, I think.
Yeah, I think for me, knowing for our listeners right now, we were obviously took 2 weeks off on the holidays because, you know, both Christmas Eve, aka Latino Christmas for me, real Christmas,
Italian Christmas too, yeah,
and New Year's Eve both fell on our usual recording days, plus an extra week to just recover and breathe.
But
the thing that, from the last 3 weeks, piling it up all into now, is, I already checked out from the season. I hate to say this, but like in the sense of my expectations of thinking, okay, we're making a deep playoff run. You know, we got the pieces, and, you know, I'm still baffled that we have the pieces that are not functioning right now. But, you know, we'll get into that and like our speculation around it after. But for me, I think it was already during the holidays that I was like, you know what, we're not going to make a deep playoff run. We are way too inconsistent. It looks like this team, we've been kind of banging this drum for a couple years now, not on the podcast necessarily, but just as fans, that this team plays well when it's like an underdog or dealing with some adversity. But once they have the pressure on them, or once the spotlight's on them, the expectations there, they always crumble. They always cave and collapse. And from the looks of our core, outside of Hughes, because I think Hughes is the absolute elite exception to all the criticism away from it, there's no fight. There's no pushback. There's no fucking grit. The only time we saw grit from us was last year when we were the ones being the fucking bullies. And, whatever that identity we had last year, we could not recreate it at all so far this year, halfway into the season now.
Yeah, and we haven't really seen it consistently enough. We've seen flashes of it for sure. But, you know, the injuries, I know they – I don't like using that excuse, but it is a pretty big excuse. They've had a lot of, you know, a lot of stories, a season's worth of stories in half a season, right? Or worth of adversity or whatever you want to call it, right? And you're absolutely right. Just to kind of go back and talk about what you said about the Canucks and their performance with regards to expectations. It's so evident, man. Like, it's even last year when you look at around like the All-Star break, right? And that's when their play really started to dip. But that was also right around the time that they were expected to be contenders, or they were, you know, in the mix. They wanted to close that out. So the minute those expectations got on them, what did we see in their play? How did it go in the playoffs? Right? It didn't work for them. And then the same thing happened at the beginning of this year. They were considered contenders, and they just were never able to figure it out. So is this a core that can't handle expectations? Like, is that crazy to ask?
No, it's not. Actually, I think that's a very fair assumption because, throughout the last couple weeks that we've missed, there was a brief period of time, if I'm recalling it properly, where even Patrick Alvin, when the GM has to come out and make comments on the team's performance, the team's struggle, and just what's going on around there, that's never a good sign, especially midway through the season. Exactly. But particularly the thing that I don't even mean to single this player out, but it's just because he singled him out, is Patrick Alvin making his comments in regards to like Pedersen scenario, you know, where it seemed like the picture he painted with his words was that Petey, when signing the contract and making his big bucks, felt that things would get a little easier, and unfortunately didn't realize the type of pressure, the type of expectations, and the type of consistency and effort that you're going to need while having more resistance, more things being thrown your way, more people trying to get after you, more stuff trying to like block the natural laws of force that's trying to block your way. That Petey didn't necessarily, you know, step into knowing that that was the mentality or what was going to come next. And that, he wants more maturity from him. So that's one player of the core. And I mean, fuck, we've already talked about Pedersen's playoff performance and everything last year.
How we talked about that ad nauseum.
Yeah, ad nauseum. I don't even want to mention. We just know that, yeah, he didn't show up for last year's playoffs for us when we needed him. But, yeah, dude, I'm starting to think now the core that we have may not have what it takes when it comes to having the expectations and the drive be on their plate after a good year, which then segues into the thing that we can talk about now so we get it out of the fucking way. Pettersson versus Miller, that whole debacle, that whole debate, that whole fucking shenanigan.
My word, that's like the epitome of Canucks media right there. Hey, that whole thing and how that was handled and how whatever went down. Like, I mean, do I think that there's a rift between the two of them? Absolutely. And quite frankly, if JT Miller's calling Pettersson a pussy, I can't say I disagree. But obviously there's a way to deliver that, right? Especially when you're teammates and you got to work together. But there's clearly, there's something there, but I'm not sure if it's as big as people. Like, who was it? I think Rick Tocchet had said to the boys, like, this goes away the minute you start winning. And yeah, people stop talking about this the minute you start winning. So what does that kind of tell you? That tells you that, like, people are kind of grasping at stories and looking for ways to, like, justify why are they playing bad, right? Both of those guys signed long-term contracts knowing that the other one was going to be there long-term.
Exactly.
That's my stance on it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I agree both players are very different players. I agree. And, you know, in the end, Miller is, from what it looks like, an old school, hard nose, you know, fucking play through shit, in your face kind of dude, which that's been his persona on and off the ice, that we know it. He's obviously been an emotional player, very fiery. And some years it's been great in his favor. Other years it's been the fucking sore thumb of the issues that's on the ice for some years. And then, yeah, Pettersson, fucking intelligently crafted, well-skilled, dynamic hockey player who, yeah, unfortunately doesn't have that edge. And with the way he kind of gets bobbled around with Bambis on skates, yeah, he gets be a kind of a pussy sometimes. I get it. Hockey's a sport that you can't really show up and be a pussy in. Like, you got to go against the boards. You got to go for the battle. You know, it's not always, it's easier said than done. I agree. But the fact that they were trying to deny that there was anything at first for me seemed really stupid, you know, or at least the way how they were doing it, you know, it was just kind of like, eh. Then eventually once the media kind of was like starting to be a little too toxic around it, a little too nosy, a little too about it. Like, I don't blame them for being frustrated with it. I mean, fuck, I would be too if I was in their shoes. But
totally, they're sitting there trying to focus on fucking turning their game around, and they're asking questions about some little like teenage rift between two of them. Like, yeah, I get it. Like, that would piss me off too.
100%. And like Rick Tocchet and like Quinn Hughes, I remember in their interviews at one point, they like confirmed, yeah, there's a rift. There's some shit that they got to deal with. Or like, you know, not getting along on, but like they're fucking professionals, right? Like the point in the end, as you mentioned, is you win games. No one fucking cares, right? Like we're caring because, or at least the media, because personally, I got really sick of it real quick.
Oh, yeah. Same.
But the media, obviously they're paid and their job is to report stories on the team and follow the news of the team. If this is the shit that's coming out from their sources and the shit that's being easily readable for the average media member via body language, via eye tests alone, how the fuck are they not going to talk about it? That's their job. They're supposed to bring something to the table. Is it annoying?
Especially something that like that that's juicy too, right? Like from their side, I totally get it. I think, you know what I think makes it worse?
What?
I think it's like they release the story and it's like the comment section or like the Twitter world or Blue Sky, whatever, wherever it is that you're on.
Yeah.
Right? And people just like take it and then they run with it. And then there's like, I've seen it. Like it gives me a headache. I can't go on Twitter all that much anymore because I'm like, oh my God, just some of the profane shit that people say to each other and about other athletes.
Dude,
and it's just ridiculous. And then these are the same people that wonder why no one wants to come and play in Vancouver.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I will say, like, every fan base has their fucking degenerates, especially on Twitter, X. I'm going to call it Twitter. Fuck you, Elon.
Yeah, it's Twitter to me, for sure.
Twitter, right? And I feel like Twitter in general, though, is literally the cesspool of humanity. And yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen or heard of that movie, Idiocracy. It was like an old Luke Wilson fucking movie from, like, 2000s. Terry Crews is in it, which you should fucking watch. You'd love him.
Yeah, there you go. That's enough for me.
I'll send it to you afterwards. But, like, basically, the premises of a man in, like, the early 2000s or late 90s, early 2000s gets stuck for military guy who gets stuck frozen in time, wakes up, like, years into the future, sees where humanity and life is at, post-apocalyptic. Everyone is, like, hard art, like, you know, dumb. Like, it's gotten so bad. So he's, like... And he wakes up and then is deemed the smartest person alive. Like, and it just follows that. The people, once you see that movie, and for our listeners who have seen it and know what I'm talking about, the people of the future that's being portrayed in that movie exist in Twitter.
They exist. I mean, I haven't seen the movie, but I can picture what you're talking about.
And... like, imagine a dude with a circle trying to put it in a fucking square hole. That's what the level of, like, yeah.
Yeah, the level of idiocracy on Twitter. You know what? You do have a point there. So maybe that's a null and void point on my end here. But to bring it back to Petey and Miller, I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, like, they're professionals, and clearly they've been working together. Last year, it wasn't a problem,
mm-hmm.
right? But also... like, I can kind of understand a little more on Miller's side, because for Miller, like, you know, you think about, and we'll go back to the playoff run, which I know we've talked about a lot, but, you know, in that second round, Miller's shutting down McDavid, right? That's a tall order. That's a tough thing to ask somebody to do. And he did it very efficiently. He did it well, right? So what does Pettersson have to do? Well, Pettersson's got to use, like you said, that dynamic playmaking ability, that shot, all the stuff that he has. Take advantage of the other part of the Oilers lineup. Well, he didn't do that. So maybe the resentment built from that.
Yeah.
Has Pettersson scored what, once in the playoffs?
Sorry. Yeah, only one time, I think. And that was that power play goal in, like, game one or game two against the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it was, like, basically on a silver platter, I remember. And that's the thing. It's like, and I know Patrick Albin had said, like, I believe in him. And, like, I still believe in Pettersson. I think there's a fantastic, very 100-point skilled player underneath him. Mm-hmm. And you don't win a trade if you trade the guy. Like, there's no way that you win the trade that way. But at the same time, like, he's got to get fucking going.
For sure. You know, I think what makes it so weird to process as Canucks fans, especially the ones who have been paying attention to the team for the last few years, basically since, like, Besser, Pettersson's rookie year. These, like, Pettersson came off dynamically offensive from the get-go. You know, the skills that he showcased us from the first few years was very crafty, was very intelligent. He had a lot of high IQ. We always knew about his defensive game being there, but, like, you know, he had more speed to him. He was able to use his hands a lot more, and he was almost magician-like. So I think that's what really fucks with us. Because don't get me wrong, let's bring it into most recent memory right now of the Toronto game. You know, again, defensive clinic. We know he can be an insanely wicked defensive forward. And he showed that, like, to a T against Toronto. But because that's not the Pettersson that we were used to for the first few seasons of his Canucks career so far, that's why there's so much frustration around him. I felt like, I honestly think if it was reverse, where he just came in as this wicked defensive forward, right? Wicked defensive number one C, you know, did the bread and butter shit right to, like, a perfection.
Like a Barkov type.
Yeah, Barkov, Bergeron type, right? And then as, like, the year goes on, their fucking skill and flash shows more and more to that point. we literally act like we just won the fucking lottery, right?
That's so true. Yeah, that's a very good point.
I think that's what's causing a lot of the frustration. If it wasn't for the fact of what he showcased us in his early years, we wouldn't be this pissy about it. But I want to bring it over to Miller real quick. And the one thing why I want to bring it over to Miller is because recently his minutes are getting dropped like a motherfucker by Tom.
Like he's not doing so great himself either.
Yeah, outside of that 4-point night against your fucking beloved Habs, like his minutes have been like what, 15 minutes or under? Like, what's going on there? That's what I'm very curious about.
I mean, is it something that's still ailing him? Obviously he's not playing 100% up to par, but that's just kind of been the epitome of the season for the Canucks. It's just really weird. Really just like it's complete opposite from what it was last year. And how much do you think the amount of unrestricted free agents that they had at the end of last year, how much do you think that played into what's happening this year?
That's a really good question, bro. I would say fuck you, first off.
Yeah, I got too serious for a second. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, good timing. But no, now bring it back to your question. Honestly, bro, at first, I didn't think it would have affected as much. But I think the two key standout guys that were missing, because clearly our blue line is fucked.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about that much yet.
I think we're just avoiding it, which I understand.
Yeah, for sure. It's a common knowledge thing. But Zadorov and Cole, I think those two, what they brought, specifically Zadorov in the edge and grit and Cole in the sound, sturdy veteran defenseman.
And also with Zadorov, his ability to move the puck too, right? If he's playing your third pairing, he can take advantage of some of those guys lower in the lineup.
So, absolutely. Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
And I think that's both, like right now, the reason why the Zadorov and Vancouver thing didn't work out is both on their ends of shooting themselves in the foot. Vancouver in the sense of like, you know what? Okay, maybe we don't really need to prioritize keeping the blue line guys, like when in reality, I think maybe now it's more important to keep blue line additions that fit well. Because they're more rare and scarce. But it was also Zadorov's fucking ego and maybe his over-evaluation of, fuck you, I had a great year and it was awesome for you guys. I deserve to be paid like a top four defenseman. Bro, that ain't your fucking track record. You didn't fully prove that season after season. And as much as we love you, this is what we'll work with you and give you, but like you got to work with us, right? Like,
and I think what didn't help the situation is the fact that him and his agent and basically everybody in the NHL knew that he was going to get whatever he wanted on the open market.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was like, Vancouver, you pay me. But Vancouver's like, well, we also kind of saw what you were at the beginning when we first got you. And throughout the season, like, you had a lot of lulls. And look, lo and behold, look what's happening to him in Boston right now.
For sure.
Right? He's on their first pairing. And it's like, top pairing or something like that he's playing with? It's like, sorry, man. Like, he's not a top pairing defenseman. He's a great defenseman. I'd love to have him back in the Canucks lineup any day. But you're 100% right. It was a combination of him shooting himself in the foot and the Canucks shooting himself in the foot. And it's crazy that it went this way. Lindholm also too. I don't think that one was too big of a. It would have been nice to have another like Lindholm type center in there, but their forward depth, I thought that they bolstered that up pretty well. So I think the biggest one, and I've said this a few times, that we're missing is Ian Cole for sure.
Yeah. So what makes Ian Cole, in your words, like the biggest one that we're missing?
It's because you can put him out there in any situation. Like if you need to close a game out, he's a guy that goes out there, blocks shots, clears the crease, clears the puck. He knows exactly what to do. He can keep himself composed also too. I know like he had some bad luck in the playoffs where a lot of shit was going off him and going in the net, but the only reason that's happening is because he's fucking standing where he should be standing and the puck goes off him. Like, what do you want him to do?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, he had some whiffs, I will say, for sure.
He definitely did.
But like, again, it's the fucking playoffs everyone's already broken, bruised, and tired at that point. Like, fucking have some grace.
And they had been going like full speed 100% since the first game of the season.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And keeping in mind, this guy is the guy that blocks a lot of shots for your team. So you got to expect that he's going to be fucking a little banged up.
For sure. And like, you know, in the end, it does still circle where like, okay, if we can't give this guy a rest and put someone else who can do exactly what he does, then that's not a problem of him. That's a problem of, again, our depth. But overall, yeah, in hindsight, I know why everyone being riled up with passion and emotion, seeing what it's like having a team, the only major team really in my eyes, in your city, make it to a good playoff run beyond expectation. But yeah, he was really treated like public enemy number one after that Oilers series. And I'm pretty sure for him, that's why he's like, yeah, like free agent. Because I think his contract was pretty, I can't remember what his contract was exactly.
They wanted to re-sign him.
Yeah.
But I think Utah gave him $3 million per year. And the Canucks, I think, were maybe going to give him the same thing, if not maybe a little more, like $1.5 million.
Yeah.
But I mean, fuck, like, from Cole's perspective, I get it, right? Like, if you're going to, like, you're going to double your salary going over to Utah, and it's a new facility and a whole new experience, like, why not take that, right?
Yeah. Of course. I mean, in the end, the player has their choice what to do. They're on the last, like, little few years of their career. Yeah, totally. Most players get into a journeyman type of vibe like that. But, yeah, I mean, it definitely is a bummer that it didn't really work out to keep him. And it's an even more bigger of a bummer that, you know, we are starting to see how much maybe we have underestimated his importance and his play to the blue line. Not only that, his veteran cup winning experience that he has, the motherfucker won a cup, man. Like, you know, he was part of that Tampa Bay, like, you know, one of the cup winning teams. You can't discredit that. You really can't. So
no, you can't. Right. And he having that experience and having that on his belt, there's something to be said for that. Right. So I completely agree with you. I think, you know, right now we're really missing his presence. We're obviously missing Zadorov's presence as well. Yeah, I'd love to have that guy back in our lineup right now.
Yeah, honestly, I would love to have him too. And I really hope management does find a way into at least filling the gaps into what, you know, he brought. I think what my guess is, just to wrap up on this thing, but my guess is that they probably banked on Soucy to really be that guy and take that in the next step forward. But in that process, yeah, Soucy's had a pretty regression year. I don't know about you.
That's putting it lightly.
Yeah, it's putting it lightly. But you know what? Let's stop talking about the light shit right now. Let's go big here and let's get into our fucking first ad read for the day, because playoffs? We're talking about playoffs? Yes, we are. You can get it on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Scoring touchdowns is key to winning in the playoffs, and you can score big by betting on them at DraftKings, the number one place to bet touchdowns. Ready to place your first bet? Try betting on something simple like a player to score six. You can just go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, and you can make your pick. And new DraftKings customers can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Boom.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. It's been a minute since I've done that. I'm glad I didn't wasn't that rusty. So fucking hey, buds.
No, you did great, but fuck you, but you did great.
Fuck you for doing a good job, brother.
Yeah, fuck you for doing a good job, brother. All right, so bringing it back over to the boys. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, how do you feel like the beginning part of the season is what we're going to be seeing for the latter part of the season? Because I know they do have some guys, you know, they got Hronek back. Demko looks like he's weaning his way back in. Are you feeling a late season surge, or, you know, is this kind of what we're dealing with for the rest of the year, you think?
I'm going to go on the boat of this is what we're dealing for the rest of the year, solely on the fact that we basically were a 90% full healthy roster against Winnipeg just yesterday, and we got spanked. I know we've been missing, like, when, let's talk about the blue line before there's one more thing I would get into, but, like, we were missing Hronek for 7 weeks, right? And, you know, clearly for us, we're like, yeah, we realized how shit our blue line is without Hronek. When we had no Hughes for that little bit, we even realized how immensely shit our blue line was without Hughes. Bro, yes. Myers and Soucy were like the top two defensemen there. Like, what? It was not fun, dude. It was not fun. It felt like being on the elevator, but like completely fucking naked and with diarrhea while you're on that ride.
Yeah. That took a very unexpected turn
as they usually like to do.
Yeah, like, no, you caught me off guard. Wow.
But like fucking it, that's what having those two as a top pair was. But yeah, I don't know. Like, let me ask you a question here. When it comes to the structure of our team right now and the way how things have been built out for this season, do you really think we're going to be buyers at the trade deadline? And if so, what do you think? Who are we even going to go after? What do we even need to go after at this point? Because I feel like there's so much.
I mean, I don't think so. I don't think this is the year for them to be buyers and giving up assets or what have you. If you can make a trade for Hoglander, if you're not satisfied with Hoglander, then sure, go for it. But I don't think, even with all this Pettersson and Miller thing going around, even if they do decide to trade one or even fucking both, who knows? I don't think all that's happening until the offseason when they can make a little bit more moves and teams are more willing to listen and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. I think this year they probably draft their first round pick. That's at least what I think they should do, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is the year. Like, don't be giving up prospects in the pipeline in the future. You know what I mean? Like, draft well, make a smart choice. Because, you know, if you trade that just to like barely make the playoffs and then get maybe, you know, spanked by Colorado, Dallas, or Vegas or whoever, it's just like, okay, then you gave up that asset for nothing. And who knows? Like, look what happened with Dylan Gunther. And that was for literally a guy that is still on our fucking cap, who got paid to win the cup with a different team and now plays for the Leafs, which makes it fucking worse.
I hate hearing how you played that out, knowing that that's the truth and that's facts. And that fucking sucks.
It hurts, man. It stings. It's a good thing that at least like the Habs are doing good. And you guys know that I follow them. Otherwise, man, I had to neck myself at this point. Fuck. I know that was a terrible joke to make. And if you
be asking Petullo right now, but honestly, it's just the fucking sentiment. They're words, man. Like, I get it. And fuck, like, it does, bro. It does. At the very least, it makes me want to fucking bash my head into the fucking wall, like, consistently. 100%. It is very frustrating for sure. And I agree with your sentiment, though. If we really aren't showing any signs of life or consistency by trade deadline, I think that's the big thing. Consistency. Some games we show life. Some games we show complete stinkers. Halford and Brough today, this morning, made a Mount Rushmore of the fucking most shit collapsed games of the season so far. And they were able to create two Mount Rushmores. That's how many bad games we've had.
Then like you could maybe make one Mount Rushmore for their good games,
maybe at the very least, like three out of the four you can pick. Like Toronto, the one against Toronto recently for sure would fit as one.
100%.
You know, like, but I feel like I have to put in way more effort to think which one was a good game over which games were bad and should be mentioned.
Oh, yeah. Like, I could probably pick out the Mount Rushmore of the bad ones probably off the top of my head. And yeah. The good ones, I'd have to go back and look at the schedule and be like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, like, we won that game, right?
Yeah, that's right. Or, yeah. Like, you know, even, like, Cave, like, you know, blowing it against Seattle. Like, you're up 4-1. You can't lose that game. Like, that's something that, and once again, you know, like, this is the polar opposite of where it was last year. But this is how we remember Canucks hockey. And shit like this is the reason why it took us so long to trust last year.
It did, honestly.
Right. It took so long to trust the team last year because of exactly what's going on right now. And the funny thing is I had faith for longer this year because of what happened last year. I fell for it again.
Oh, my God. I know. Me too. I feel like I just got fucking bamboozled right now. Yeah, I know. I had to feel like that. Joey sounds like baboon, right? Like... I did, man. I feel like the Canucks literally just like, yo, it's a nice piece of juicy ass. They fucking drop the carpet. It's a red baboon ass, not a fucking, you know, Instagram model ass. Like, what the fuck?
Bro. What the fuck? What did I just subject? What did I agree to?
Hey, what are you doing? There's no fucking Zito happening? Hey, there's no fucking Zito.
So you mean to tell me you're going to show me one ass and going to give me another one? No, there's no fucking word for people like you. They call you fucking Goombas.
Well, I feel like I sound more like Tony Soprano when I'm like sick.
Yeah, I mean, maybe because of the natural nasy, like,
yeah,
that's funny. But like, so let's reel it back in here. So like, reeling it in though, I mean, yeah, I agree with you 100%. The fan base was struggling to trust the team last year on, like, you know, the good run. And then they proved us wrong. And now, obviously, we have those, again, back to the expectations. Like, shit, okay, maybe we can believe. Maybe this is where it's at. Embrace the hard, right? Yeah. That was rock hard from head to toe the beginning of the fucking year. I'm soft like a fucking wet noodle, dude.
Yeah, dude, we're sitting down to pee right now. Can't stand up and do it. Gotta sit down.
Going to the pee jadoo and being like, work, damn it, work.
You know how many times I have to fucking whack my pecker to get it to go when I go to the beach, though?
Yeah, man. I know we're getting so fucking off topic, but you know what, man? Without humor, like you said, we're going.
We have to have humor right now, dude. Like, yeah. you have to have it. Otherwise, it's just doom and gloom. And honestly, we're lucky that the city hasn't had a snowfall or hasn't, like, been too depressing this winter. We've actually had it pretty good. Otherwise, it would have been a lot worse here.
I know. Thank you, climate change, for that.
Yes, fuck indeed.
Like, honestly, yeah. In reality, though, if we're not consistent, if we don't go on like a Detroit Red Wings 7-game winning streak right now, or like anything like that to get us out of the gutter, I agree with you. Don't fucking buy, but don't sell. Or maybe, like, sell a little bit to, like, get some picks. Something.
But, I mean, like, what are you going to sell? Like, Hoglanders, like, you're going to have to send a pick over for someone to take
them. Yeah, I know. That's the shitty part. I feel like we would just have to stay in place kind of almost.
Yeah,
but, exactly. You know, if there is one comp in at least the last 3 years that hopefully I can pray for that this team could follow, is the New Jersey Devils. The
reason for that too.
Yeah. Because of the fact that, like, this year, I feel like they're for sure making the playoffs. They look deadly. But last year they had a lot of, like, the year before last year, same thing. They were like, wow, they look great. They're making a run. They were out the second round. Then the next year with all the expectations, stinker of a year.
Lots of injuries too.
A lot of injuries, exactly. And just a lot of shit that they were going through. And then now they're fucking back in the mix again this year. Like I said, I'm okay with putting a wrap on this year. I'm okay with not having any expectations. Heck, if we make the playoffs, like, cool. If we don't make the playoffs, that'll sting. But just, like, fucking brush the monkey off your back and, like, think about next year already. But my comp is I'm hoping we get a New Jersey Devil situation for the Canucks.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I was thinking about that as well too. The exact same comparable because, yeah, it's also very similar, right? Like last year they lose Dougie Hamilton for pretty much the whole year very early. They don't have goaltending. Then they get Jake Allen halfway through the year. And you know, didn't end up making the playoffs. And then this year now they got Markstrom and Allen as their tandem. And it's changed a lot of things. So I completely agree with you. Which, you know what, has the potential, you know, if we can keep, you know, Lankinen and Demko together, and Demko at least has a full offseason where he can train properly, maybe next year starts different. But I think that's a pretty solid comparable.
Yeah, that is. You mentioned Demko. I want to briefly talk about him, or just in general, our goaltending situation before we wrap up here. But, like, you know what? I'm going to start off with a spicy question. Do you think we use Lankinen as a trade chip for the deadline? Or do we actually try to keep him?
That's a tough one. Because you could probably yield a lot for Lankinen right now. Because Lankinen, I mean, right now he's their starting goalie. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not crazy to say that, am I?
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, primarily outside of having to be the starting goalie by default with no Demko. But I mean, like, even though he had a stinker of a game yesterday, which, again, goalies will have even the best, the fact that they chose to go with Lankinen again over Demko, unless there's something going on with Demko still, you know, that says a lot about who they view as the person they trust more behind the net.
Yeah, but I mean, Lankinen is also coming off of a 3-0 shutout, so you always play that, unless it's a back-to-back situation.
Yeah. How can you not?
Yeah, and at least like that logic I can understand.
Yeah, Lankinen's our starter. I agree.
Lankinen's our starter, right? So, I mean, they're going to have more bargaining when they go into trades. It's hard to decide on this one, and it's really going to decide on whether or not if they go on like a, you know, even like a 5 or 6 game heater, then I'd say, fuck it, you know what? Like, don't just go for it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, keep both goalies because you never know how, like, you know, fragile Demko is or how long he can last. Maybe he can't go through a playoff round this year. Maybe that fucks him up long term. Who knows? And then just kind of bank on hopefully Demko coming back next year, being able to play to his Vezina level. But regardless, we're going to need a goaltender who can play more than an average backup, right? So that's where I would want to keep Lankinen. So it's hard for me to sit here and say let's trade him. What do you think?
I think right now where Demko is at, like, yeah, again, everything bases off what we were talking about earlier in the episode. If Canucks can't show that they can stay consistent and go on a heater until trade deadline, then stick with what we're at and possibly, I'd say, use Lankinen as a fucking trade chip. Because that could get us probably a pretty good haul. There are definitely some teams that need a good goaltender, a starter-worthy goaltender. As much as it would suck to see him leave right off the bat after miraculously coming to us and showing that he's, like, dope. But a part of me would like to keep him nonetheless. And the reason I say that is because I think my biggest worry and the thing that I kind of feel in my gut, and you know me, listeners before too, never have random gut feelings. Sometimes they work, sometimes they're not. But I feel like we already are seeing that Demko's skills are still Vezina caliber. And we know that he is an elite goaltender without a doubt. He has proven that for plenty of years consistently. And if anything, I think now we're about to reap the consequences of it all, of his workhorse years during when we were extremely shitty. That it's not that his skills aren't Vezina caliber, but I think his body is probably not going to be the same. And he maybe only has 1-2, if at best, potential full starter role type seasons before his body tells him you're probably better and more capable as a backup with that load management than the starter. Just based on his body, his health, injuries alone, not because of his skill.
Yeah, or his work ethic. I completely agree with you.
Nothing of a nothing.
And that's the sad part. That is the saddest part about it, is now that we're actually, you know, good, our core is better, and we want to make a run.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to have him as your workhorse now, but
yeah,
overplaying him, and yeah, we're you know, exactly right. We're seeing the consequences. His body is like, you know, the rest of his body is 28, but his knees are fucking 82.
Yeah.
Like that's what it seems like.
It's true. And it's it's unfortunate, but I think that's where I want to be proven wrong. I'd love to be proven wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's how I see it too, but fucking Demko proved me wrong.
Yeah, that's it. It's a Demko prove us wrong, but until then, I think he's only got one or two starter workhorse type seasons in him left, as if all goes well with his health. Before his body fully is like, yeah, dude, you can't handle it like you used to before.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think that's very realistic.
Yeah. You know what else is realistic? A 45-minute wrap-up time with the show here. What do you think, brother? You think it's a good time to end the show for today?
I think it's a very good time to end the show, my friend. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us on another episode of the Blazing Pucks, episode 72 of the Canucks podcast you listen to when your kids are not around. So if you like the podcast, guys, you know the drill. Give us a 5-star review. Hit us up on Twitter or email, blazingpuckspodcast@gmail.com, or at the Blazing Pucks. Victor, what can they do if they really like the podcast?
If you really like the podcast, on your Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to these two BC buds, please give us a 5-star review. Let us know that you really like us. Go to our YouTube, because we do these as live streams for shits and giggles, and then we upload it to Spotify. So follow us on YouTube as well. Subscribe at the Blazing Pucks, and then you can join us and have fun here. And last but not least as well, if you are on the Instagram, check us out on Instagram as well, at the Blazing Pucks. Tell us to go fuck ourselves. I choked on my own spit there, and now I'm going to leave that
here. Your own spit just did that to you.
Yeah, well, purposely. And you know what? It's telling me to shut the fuck up. So, you know what? In Blazing Pucks fashion,
much love
and go fuck yourself.